Want to give you kind of just an update on some information I got this past week about the radio broadcast and the internet ministry of our church as well as WJOC. I got an email, I guess probably while we were still in New York, and it was asking permission to release one of our radio broadcasts to a person that was listening over the internet because they wanted to put it on radio in their city where they live. And, of course, we said that was fine. Then the next day, from the same message, they got a request. And, by the way, this was a message that was preached back in February of 2010. And Trey goes in and takes our morning messages, and then he edits those down to 28 minutes. And I don't know. You know, I know we appreciate WJOC, but I don't think we fully appreciate all they do. That service within itself would cost a lot of money and take a lot of time, but he has the digital equipment where he's able to do that. So he had taken one of our messages, and he had titled it False Ways to Be Saved, and played that on the radio. And so the person had contacted him about putting it on the air in their city, and then another person just 2 days later contacted him from North Dakota and said they had been listening to the program and had been in a Baptist church all of their life, and had quit attending there and was using the radio and the internet sites, our website and our messages, for their church because there was not a rightly dividing church there. And so they had got, and then they were able to put that message on the internet where people could just click a link. And so it was kind of an amazing chain of events there over the last week or so about that particular message and the number of people that were affected by it. And basically all it was a clear presentation of the gospel, of how people are saved. And that's what's so important, folks. But I wanted you to know about that and know that the radio station continues to have a great impact, not only here, but just think about that. I think it was Fargo, North Dakota. I'm glad I can go there by sound because I have no desire to go there personally. But at any rate, I've been to South Dakota and that's far enough. But that it's a wonderful thing, the internet outreach that is there, and WJOC is very instrumental in that.
That
gentleman from North Dakota, he actually quit his job. He was a DJ at
that Baptist radio station. He quit his job because he couldn't do it anymore.
Amen. Well, that's something else. It's amazing the power of the Word of God, isn't it? All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want to talk to you this morning about practical instructions for perilous times. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." We'll stop there for a moment, and let me, before I read the rest of the passage, just mention to you that there is hardly a week that goes by that I don't get some kind of information over the internet, or there's not some kind of article about warnings in relation to the coming economic crisis, the meltdown of the stock market. There's always information on there about the latest health crisis, about some type of outbreak of E. coli or some new disease or something else you shouldn't be eating. And it just goes on and on. There's always some kind of warning out there. As a matter of fact, I posted something this past week about a statement we heard, my granddaughters heard a lady make there in New York. And they overheard her say that one of them said that her friend down south had been diagnosed with diabetes. And the lady that she was telling that to said, "Well, it's no wonder that she has diabetes. They drive everywhere they go." Well, little did I know that driving caused diabetes. Of course, the point was lack of exercise. And the whole thread turned into a debate over about diabetes. And then some people got, you know, it just went kind of nutty there. But the point is that everybody has a warning about something. And the Apostle Paul, God Almighty, warned us that there's going to be perilous times. And he says that in the last days, perilous times shall come. I believe that Paul believed that he was in the last days. I believe that every generation of believers, true believers, have believed they were in the last days. And I believe personally that we are in the last days. And so the last days is a term that is somewhat subjective in relation to where you are in time. It could be, in other words, if we're near the rapture, and certainly I hope we are, we could call the day the last days. But we can certainly see from the scriptures that the things that are said about the last days are very true about the day in which we live right now. Notice in verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, that means unable to control themselves, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now certainly we can see that every one of those things would be applicable today. Every one of those things we can see in mankind and in society. And particularly verse 5, where it says, having a form of godliness. You know, there's a lot of religion in the world, folks, but very little truth. And that religious system out there that we refer to all the time, it has a form of godliness, but they are denying the power thereof. What is the power of God? It is the gospel of Christ. It is the preaching of the cross. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So the religious system of this world denies, while having a form of godliness, they deny the power thereof. He said, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs always, as theirs always also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now, I want us to consider, as I said, some practical instructions for perilous times. I don't want to spend as much time, I don't want to spend a lot of time today simply talking about these traits that are manifest today that we read about there in verses 2, 3, and 4. But rather, instead of looking at the perils of the apostasy, the practical instructions, the protection, if you will, from that apostasy. Number one, we can be assured, folks, that things are not going to get any better as far as people's attitude and attitude toward God and acceptance of truth. It's just not. He said, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We saw in the Sunday school lesson this morning that not much has changed over 2,000 years. There have always been those that have rejected the truth of the Word of God. And there have always been those throughout that 2,000 years that have accepted and embraced the Word of God, rightly divided. The idea that what we preach is something new and different is totally unfounded. There have always been people that followed the ministry of the Apostle Paul and preached the gospel of the grace of God and stood for this doctrine. And so it is today, and there are more today than there ever have been in the past, but yet at the same time, as far as there being a religious, or I even hate to use that word, because there is a religious awakening. People are awakened to religion. But as far as Christianity and truth, we should say a truth awakening. As far as there being an awakening to the truth and acceptance of the truth, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, you know, I mentioned a moment ago about all of these things that you read in the newspaper or on the internet or whatever your source of information might be. It might be the evening news, whatever it is. You hear about all of these problems that man faces today. Some say the solution for the economic problem is to get all your money out of the stock market, invest in gold. Well, if you're like most people, you probably don't have any money in the stock market. The point is that you hear about all of the problems and all the warnings, but what I've noticed is rarely is there a solution. Rarely do they tell you what to do as a result of the impending doom. Now, I know that there are people today that they believe that the church is going through the tribulation and they're storing up food. I remember back during Y2K. Y'all remember that? Back when we changed from 1999 to the year 2000. I know people personally. They bought all kind of food supplies and stored up water and drinks and bought generators and all that kind of stuff. And you know what? We were having a party over at the house that night, 1999, 11:59 came, and 12 o'clock came, and our lights stayed on, and we still had food, and our water was running, and the gas furnace was still working, and nothing happened. But you know what? There were millions and millions of dollars spent because people feared what was going to happen. And it never did. Folks, we can be assured of what God's Word says is true, and it is going to happen. In the last days, perilous times shall come. In the last days, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Notice back in 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy 4, the Apostle Paul, in verse 16, uses two words that are very instructive, and we need to take heed to these two words. Well, I just gave them away, didn't I? 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed, he says, unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, what is Paul talking about, save thyself? We know that Timothy was a saved man. Paul talked about him being his son in the faith. His salvation is recorded back in the book of Acts. Timothy was a saved individual. And yet, he says to Timothy, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Well, obviously what he's talking about is saving himself from that which Paul has previously been writing about there in chapter 4. What is that? Look back in verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. In other words, Paul is making it clear that what is being written down here, what is being said, is by inspiration of the Spirit of God. This isn't something Paul made up. He said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meat, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Now again, we could look at each component of that, but that's not what I want to do today. The point is that those that depart from the faith place themselves back under the law, apparently, from what is said. They speak lies and hypocrisy. They forbid to marry. They command to abstain from meats. And Paul says there in verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. So the passage, the implications of the passage go far beyond just abstaining from meats and forbidding to marry. The idea there is that people are placed back under the law. They're placed under a system of do's and don'ts that replace the sound doctrine of grace. People are told that if you do this, then God is not going to favor you. God is not going to accept you. Well, notice what Paul says in verse 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little. Now, people like me, we like that verse because it gives us an out for exercising. I walked enough last week that I probably don't have to walk anywhere else the rest of my life. I'm just going to rip me a hover around. But that's not what he's talking about. The bodily exercise. Listen, folks, keeping the law had to do with bodily exercise. It had to do with that which you did in your flesh. That's the bodily exercise in the passage. He said, it profiteth little. In other words, today, what is bodily exercise? What do people do in their flesh? Well, they go to church. The preacher tells them to come to the altar. They go to the altar. They kneel down. They repeat the sinner's prayer. They are told to hold on. And somebody else says, let go. And somebody else says, pray through. And it goes on and on. What is it? That's bodily exercise. Then they're placed in a tank of water. And either they're dipped or they're sprinkled. That's bodily exercise. All of the things that people are told to do in religion, regardless of what it is, has to do with exercising their flesh, exercise, doing things in their flesh instead of simply believing and trusting in what the Bible says. Bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Where is our promise of the life that now is and that which is good? It's in the gospel of Christ. It's in the gospel of the grace of God. It is in the preaching of the cross, the truth of the word of God. Verse 10, or verse 9. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You see, what Paul is admonishing Timothy to do is to take heed to that which would be the most beneficial in delivering him, in saving him from this coming apostasy. Folks, there is not anything we can do to stop it from coming. I mean, you can buy all the TV time you want to. You can preach it from the rooftop. You can shout and holler at people, but they're still going to do what they want to do. And religion is going to continue to be deceptive and deceive people. And there are going to be those who are going to depart from the faith. They're giving heed to a seducing spirit. They're going to preach doctrines of devils in spite of the truth of the Word of God. Why? Because it's the popular thing to do. It elevates mankind. You see what false doctrine does, folks, is it tries to bring man up to God and God down to man. False teaching tries to elevate man to some higher degree than he deserves to be. The Bible clearly states that there is none good, no, not one. And when you preach the sinfulness of mankind and the fact that mankind is no good, people don't like that. That becomes very, very offensive to people. That's just one point of it. The point is, you're not going to stop that which is happening as far as evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse. Then what do? You make preparation for it. You prepare yourself according to the Word of God. How do you do that? By sound doctrine. Where do you get the doctrine from? Dr. Oz, Dr. Phil, Oprah, Time Magazine. Come on, folks. You get the doctrine from the Word of God. Hold on here and look over in 2 Timothy chapter 3 where we were a moment ago. Take heed unto the doctrine. Why is that? Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, Paul said, all Scripture, and by the way, this is just a continuation of what we were reading a moment ago. We stopped there in verse 14, he said, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is proper for what? Doctrine. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, back in chapter 2, in verse 15, a very familiar passage, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Folks, I want to tell you this morning, very clearly and without hesitation, that you are not going to be established in sound doctrine without rightly dividing the word of truth. You take people that go over Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and base their doctrine upon those books there, they are not going to be established. They're going to be part of the apostasy rather than be able to stand against the apostasy. Why? What the people that embrace that teaching generally believe? They believe that they are bringing in the kingdom. They believe that they are part of that kingdom message. Well, that's the very apostasy that Paul's talking about. You see, falling away from the truth isn't going out and committing murder and getting drunk and doing drugs and playing cards and going to movies. Falling away from the truth had to do with people being religious and getting involved in a religious system and giving heed to that seducing spirit that tells them, here's what you need to do to be pleasing to God. You need to abstain from meats. You need to forbid. You shouldn't be married. You ought to on and on and on, and it goes. That's where the problem is. People not being established in the truth. And without rightly dividing the word of truth, people end up in confusion. And in that confusion, they are easily swayed and deceived. They are what Paul says, they are tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. You know how I know? Because I was right there in my own life. People come along and anything they said that came out of the Bible sounded pretty good to me. Until I would try to do it. And then it was a failure. Like claiming the promises of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in relation to prayer. I can't tell you how many times I did that and how much disappointment there was in that. Or claiming the promises of healing, like in the book of James. Did that for other people. It didn't work. You see, the whole point is that if you don't rightly divide the word of truth, if you don't take heed unto the doctrine. What doctrine did Paul say for him to take heed unto? He said over there in chapter 3, the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Things that, he said, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, commit thou to faithful men that they might be able to teach others also. Listen, folks, this is not just some kind of hobby horse. This is not just some kind of fad of preaching and teaching about following Paul. It is the very truth that establishes people and saves people from the coming apostasy. And that's exactly what happened throughout the ages, is that century after century, those that refused the Apostle Paul and his message and said that he was not a confirmed apostle and not the apostle of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, they got involved in a system that told them they had to do something in order to be saved. Every cult that came along was a result of not understanding the Word of God rightly divided. We've been talking on Sunday night about Calvinism and about the teaching of predestination and people being predestinated to go to hell and people being only a certain group elected unto salvation. You know what? Every one of those points we clearly showed in the Scripture was a result of not rightly dividing the Word of truth. Because they would go outside the Scriptures that are written to us today in this present dispensation to try to prove their points. What am I saying? All I'm saying is exactly what the Apostle Paul said. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. What doctrine? The doctrine given to us through our Apostle, the Apostle Paul. All of the Bible is doctrine. The law was doctrine. Tithing was doctrine. Jesus Christ said, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. That was all doctrine. The Bible says over in Acts chapter 2, they continued in the apostles' doctrine. There was the doctrine of repentance and water baptism. But listen, folks, none of that was doctrine for you and I. Paul's telling Timothy, he said, listen, Timothy, there's going to be some bad days ahead. There's going to be some trying times ahead. They're going to be perilous. These are the signs of the perilous times, he says. Men shall be lovers of their own self. Men are going to have a form of godliness, but going to deny the power there. But you need to take heed, Timothy, unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself. And not only save thyself, but what else did he say? And them that hear thee. Not just hear the words, but hear the truth of the words. Those that are willing to listen can be saved from the apostasy. Let me use an illustration. Years ago, before we moved to Chattanooga, we were in the fastest growing church of the particular denomination that it was a part of in Alabama. Fastest growing church. And what that meant was that they had more baptisms than any other church in the state. Every year, every month, you would send in your baptisms to this association, the state association, and they published a newsletter. And almost every month for a year, we led the state in baptisms. We moved up here in 1972. In May of 72, we visited this church, Rivermont Baptist Church. And shortly after that, began to really read and study our Bible and became established in the truth of rightly dividing. Several months later, we went back down to Birmingham to visit with some family and friends. And we found out that that church that had been the largest and fastest growing church, which was not at all in any way associated with the charismatic movement, that church had split right down the middle because people began to speak in tongues and claim all the gifts of the Acts 2 church and so forth. And the church was just almost destroyed. And the very thought that came to my mind was the truth that I had learned in the short time I had been in Chattanooga. Had that truth been taught in that church, they would never have fallen into that apostasy. What was missing there? Oh, We had it going on. We had built 3 auditoriums while I was there. And we had a large youth group. We went on retreats. We had a music program. We had a huge choir. I mean, it was just everything. It was all exciting. But there was never any sound doctrine. There were evangelistic messages geared to get people down the aisle, but even at that, I don't remember hearing a clear presentation of the gospel. I went forward almost every Sunday to confess my sins. Listen, folks, the answer to the spiritual problems in the religious world today is the Word of God, the doctrine committed to and through the Apostle Paul. That answers the questions. That establishes people in the faith. So what are we to do? Give heed, or take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, and to continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Second thing I want you to notice, look in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Don't be ashamed. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he wrote there in Romans 1:16, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. In that particular instance, I don't believe that Paul was saying, I'm not timid about it. I believe what Paul was saying is, I'm not ashamed of it because it is able to accomplish that which God desires for it to accomplish. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. You see, there were those that were ashamed of that which Paul was preaching. There were those that shamed the Apostle Paul for preaching it and denied it. But notice what Paul writes to Timothy in this very last letter that he ever writes. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Before we read further, I want you to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Timothy 1, verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as, notice, the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. What is Paul talking about when he talks about the testimony of Christ? Well, to give a testimony is to testify, isn't it? Somebody called as a witness, they sit on a witness stand, and they give a testimony. They testify to that which they know. Well, look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Remember, he said to those Corinthians, as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, Paul said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also have you received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. Now notice what he says. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures. Listen, folks, when Jesus Christ appeared to the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9, I believe that Jesus Christ testified to the Apostle Paul of what had taken place in his death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that God showed the Apostle Paul, listen, Paul, by all the standards of time past, you have done what is guilt, what you are guilty of murder. You are subject to being put to death, and I would be just in doing so. But I'm not going to do that, Paul. And Paul said that in me first he might show forth all long suffering for a pattern. So Jesus Christ testified to the Apostle Paul of what had taken place at the cross. And Paul fell down in fear and trembling. Now, back in 2 Timothy chapter 1, the testimony of our Lord has to do with that which the Lord told the Apostle Paul. It wasn't his earthly teachings, it was his teachings from heaven. 2 Timothy 1:8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Well, then there it is, isn't it? The gospel. That's the testimony of our Lord. Paul said, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. How did he do that? Through the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not his appearance for 33 years on earth, but his appearing to the Apostle Paul there from heaven. He revealed unto the Apostle Paul the gospel. He revealed unto the Apostle Paul the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ. And for almost 30 years, he revealed over time that which the Apostle Paul wrote down and became Romans through Philemon in your Bible. That's the testimony of our Lord for you and I. Don't be ashamed of it. And don't be ashamed of the one to whom it was given, the Apostle Paul. We are never to exalt the man. We don't glory in the man, Paul. We glory in the message. He said in verse 11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, what? I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Do you know today whom you have believed? I do. You see, he didn't say, I know. Let me start over there. He said, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. He didn't say, I know in whom I have believed. You see, it's different in believing in somebody and believing somebody. He said, I know whom I have believed. Well, who did he believe? He believed the appearance of the Lord from heaven when the Lord spoke unto him and said, Paul, I'm going to make you a minister of the Gentiles and the kings and Israel. Paul, I'm going to send you far hence, and you're going to suffer things for my name's sake. And he said over there in Acts chapter 26, the ministry I've given you, Paul, is going to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, and give them inheritance among those that are sanctified. All of that information given by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's no wonder today that throughout the ages, ever since the Lord appeared in the Apostle Paul and gave Paul this revelation, there's been resistance to the Apostle Paul. I've said so many times, and I'll repeat it again, because I know there are people here and listening on the internet perhaps that have not been here before when I said it. But I have always found it very interesting that I've never in religious circles found anybody that questioned the authoritative teachings of Peter, James, John, Matthew, Mark, or Luke. But I have, throughout the years I have believed this, some 30-something, 40-something years now, I have heard over and over again people question the authenticity of Paul's writings and the authority of Paul's writings. That Paul just gave his opinion on so many occasions. Paul said, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but thee thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel. How do we do that? We do that by standing true to the truth of the Word of God rightly divided. By preaching the Word of God. I was taught as a young man, attending classes down in Birmingham, Alabama, at a prominent school there that they had extension classes out in the churches, and I would go there two nights a week. And one of the first classes I took was about the Apostle Paul. In the second class I went to, I was told that the things that Paul wrote about marriage in 1 Corinthians 7 were probably written because Paul was a homosexual. That was the last class I ever attended there. I was never taught in the church I grew up in that there was a book that was absolute truth. It was always subjective. There was always interpretation. I want to tell you something, folks. I don't care how bad things get, how much falling away there is. I thank God today for the truth of God's Word, because it is the anchor. It is that which will secure you. It is that which will keep you. It is that which will make you know in whom you have believed. I know whom I have believed. I have believed the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ, that He died for my sins, that He paid for every one of them, and that all of my sins are forgiven. I hope you have too. That's the testimony of our Lord. The testimony of our Lord is not, listen, I did my part, now you've got to go out and do your part. The testimony of our Lord is that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself by the death of His Son. The testimony of Christ is He forgave you all trespasses. The testimony of Christ is that all your sins are forgiven. And that by simple faith in Him, you can be transformed from darkness to light, from death unto life. That's the truth that will sustain you during this time of falling away. Stand, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in so doing thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You see, folks, not only do we have the ministry of standing, but we have the ministry of making this truth known to people. Like that man up there in North Dakota, who now knows the truth, who now is established in the truth, who now will not be carried away into apostasy, because the truth is what does the work. It's the Word. Not me, not you, but we have the responsibility of opening our mouth that they might hear it, and them, He said, that hear thee can also be saved from that apostasy. Would you stand with me for prayer?